This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world.
Welcome back to the Legendary Dreamland podcast, Whitley Strieber's long-running exploration of all things alien, anomalous, or just plain weird. I'm James Falk, a longtime PBS reporter and host of the Neon Galactic podcast on YouTube and anywhere you get your podcasts. I am also, fortuitously, the monthly guest host of this program. Thanks for joining us. Our guest today is a lifelong experiencer, an advocate for those who've had similar contact, and an emerging leader in the experiencer community. He's been a warrior for truth, a champion for victims, and a seeker of wisdom. If you've spent any time on Reddit researching the UFO phenomenon, aliens, high strangeness, contact, or conspiracy, you've likely come across the work of user Oak Dreyacht. His empathetic approach, deep experience, and willingness to help have inspired thousands and likely saved lives. We'll discuss his life, his own anomalous experiences, the power of community, the challenges of online security, and the rising scourge of online manipulation. It's an honor to welcome him into Dreamland, where the anomalous is normal, and normal is merely camouflage for a universe still steeped in profound mystery. Let's parse the patterns and see what deeper truths emerge. Welcome, Connor.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. I've been a fan of your work for a long time. It started as a lurker on the Reddit threads, and your name loomed large. And so I think you're to be applauded for the work that you do. And I noticed that as we start this conversation, two important things. I see the Daimonic Reality, Patrick Harper's book over your shoulder there, and Passport to Magonia, or Messenger of Deception, one of those two. I'm not sure.
It's Passport to Magonia, yeah.
Okay, there it is. Yeah. So those are great books and a great place to start any conversation around these topics. But let's start with who you are and how you got involved in all of this. What's the story of Connor's unfolding in the experiencer community?
Yes, okay, thank you very much. Yeah, so interesting you said lifelong experiencer, which I technically am, but I didn't know I was. And that's the case for a lot of people I work with, actually. So my experiences are not as maybe profound as many of the people I know and work with and so on and so forth, but they are very important, I guess, to me, but also why I do the work I do now. And I think they do give a clue to what's happening, what's currently unfolding to a degree. I had basically a pretty significant, which I didn't realize was significant, contact experience as a child in the early 90s, probably roughly, 1992 or 1993 or so. And it's a long story, so I'll kind of streamline it, but I'm happy to answer any questions. Yeah. But look, essentially, I buried this. So I just thought I basically saw a shadow at my door that didn't make sense. And I kind of buried the story that I couldn't really dismiss it entirely because I wasn't asleep. I was awake. But that's how it was to me largely for most of my life. But the reality of this experience was I was, my parents were downstairs watching a movie. You know, they'd put us to bed, meet myself and my sister. And we, at the time, were wreaking havoc by, you know, waiting for them to start the movie. Then we'd get up and cause a ruckus. And then eventually my dad would have to come up and put us to bed. And we'd make a game of that where we'd pretend to be asleep or hide under the bed or hide, all that kind of stuff. So he would eventually try to sneak up to try and catch us before we tried to pretend to be asleep and all this kind of silliness, you know. The bedroom of my door did not close properly. It would just have be slightly opened. And when my father would approach, you would see the shadow come through the door first and then the door would open. So sometimes we'd have a little bit of a second if he saw that to pretend to be asleep or whatever. It was one of these days, it was during this kind of phase, we were actually not super hyper and making a ruckus at this stage. My sister was actually just having a conversation with me. Again, I would have been six or so, all right? I was looking towards the door and I see this shadow, come through the crack, and I'm expecting it to turn into a, you know, event, get bigger and turn into a man-sized shadow. Instead, it approaches the door and stops. It does not get bigger. It's standing there, and it's, you know, it has the traditional shape of a short gray alien, I guess, a large head, skinny body. The top of its head would have reached the top of the door handle, which I remember. So it was quite a short being. And it stood there, and I'm looking at this, waiting for it to make sense. And I had essentially a very, very profound telepathic communication with this being in that moment. My consciousness was split into two, which is strange to say. So how could I say this? So you could almost say three. So there was the me looking at this, trying to figure out what it is I'm seeing. Then there was two me in the conscious telepathic experience. There was the childhood me, then some form of larger version of myself. I don't understand that, right? I've had a few other telepathic experiences with beings, and this similar process happened where there was two versions of me engaging with the entity. And I've heard that on the field as well. I don't know what to say about that, it seemed somewhat outside of time, right? So, but how this being engaged with me was not with language, it was a telepathic, where you're given concepts, emotions, imagery, and so on and so forth. But it also was giving me information about my future, right? So, and it showed me my future, similar to how near-death experiencers report life reviews. So I was experiencing moments from my life and moments from my future via my future self's perspective, thoughts, feelings, emotions, and experiences. But very strangely, I was also experiencing those future moments via other people. So I experienced other people's thoughts, feelings, emotions, and experiences as well. That's why I reference life reviews, because in life reviews, people experience being other people interacting with themselves. Well, I've had that experience, and that's quite strange. It was a combination of very personal stuff about my life, essentially, ups and downs and so on and so forth. And I was having big childhood me, the young me was having huge emotional reactions to the information I was having. And then the other version of me was more, it's put together. The thing that's kind of relevant to this is, I was shown that there would be a mass activation, if you want to use that term. It wasn't English given to me. Or mass awakening, mass activation of experiencers, again, not in English, sometime in the future. And I was to get involved in assisting in this situation, and it was very important, right? And then they gave me an image, which is kind of a cliche image, that looks like something from, early 2000s kind of, stock imagery of networks and media, mid 2000s maybe, where you see the kind of a planet with all these lines and grids around it, and all these lights lighting up. These lights lighted up represented suddenly awakened, activated experiencers, and there was an emotional sense of confusion, thoughts, confusion, fear, isolation, and despair, and so on. And then I saw all these lines leading from. Basically, I saw this big node light up that was supposed to be basically me and what I would build. And then all these lines from all the different activated lights, kind of leading to that, right? And the sense that this was part of a much larger process that is going to be ongoing one day. Now, I was not given a year. They didn't communicate anything like that. I was shown flashes of me, on a computer, but typing up things. I was given the experience of being other people on support calls with me from their perspective, which was very strange. And I was shown various trials and tribulations I would go through in trying to, deal with all this in the future. Also some of the experiences I would have in the future as well. There's a lot. I mean, I could get lost in that experience. I mean, one very personal thing that happened within that experience, was, of course, I was shown a lot of the difficulties I'd have in life, anxieties, depressions, and lack of self-worth and esteem and things like this, and other kind of traumas, I guess, you experience the emotions are dialed up. So I was experiencing all that compressed, and my child self was horrified that I was going to experience these things in the future, And I wasn't very much reacting. It's interesting. In the experience, there wasn't a big reaction to this. This was only one part of it, the future thing, stuff I get involved with, right? I wasn't having a big reaction to that. I was having a big reaction to other aspects of my life being put on display. And then also, like, what I'm dealing with in the moment, like there's a being at my door. What the hell? But I was shown, when I was shown some of the difficult stuff I would go through, and this is kind of an important thing. The being gave me a response to this, and it gave me a response by painting an image for me in my mind, right? And it showed, it's very strange, but it painted almost like a Renaissance painting, of like green grass park, trees and people in it from, you're looking at it down from the distance, kind of playing. And this represented fun, happiness, content, right, and joy, and love and all that, right? And then separated from this was this desolate piece of rock floating in the air, all rain and gloomy, all there. And there's a baby on the rock in a nappy crying. And that's meant to represent me. It's funny, the two versions of me, right? Childhood me was offended by this. I didn't like that this being was
You're not a
comparing me
baby.
to a baby, right? Adult version of me had a different reaction to this. It was actually reacted by going, this is a cliche, right? And explain more in a moment. But I didn't know what a cliche was, it seems. So is that so that was the, there was conscientiousness of this being cliche imagery. And the imagery basically was given, I'm on this rock as a baby crying my eyes out, and so behind me are these beings holding floating doors, right? And the beings looked kind of intimidating, I'll be honest. They looked halfway between, a tall, alien type dynamic, except glowing, bluish, right? But the ethereal, right? And they kind of the bottom half of them drifted off like a kind of like, a cartoon ghost in a way.
Or a
But
genie
otherwise,
from
like,
back in the day, right?
but they had like, it was not that kind of bulbous head, but it was it's very skinny body, long fingers, the black eyes, and just very intimidating facial structure to them, and this is an image of being painted to me, so what things look like, I don't know. But and they're holding these white traditional typical doors, and there's roughly about five of them, and they're surrounding me, and you can kind of feel there's an emotional exchange as I'm communicating. And I'm like, childhood me was kind of understanding that, like, the door might be a portal to getting me to the happiness and the ground, in the park. And I'm screaming essentially at the being, because I'm feeling all the future pain I'll feel through, like, to help me, bring me. And I'm feeling frustration and intensity back from the being that they're pushing these doors towards me. One of them is even opening the door, and you can see through the crack of the door, the green grass, the park, happiness, all that. None of them are grabbing me and pulling me through. And of course, the cliche message is, we can surround you with doors. We can bring doors closer to you. We can even open doors for you, but you have to go through them yourself. And we are trying to do this for you throughout your timeline, and we really want to help you. But at times, you're basically too busy crying to see the door that we're presenting to you. So too much in despair about your own circumstances to see. We're trying to provide opportunities to help you, but you're not seeing them. And of course, that's a cliche as well. They show you the door, but you have to walk through thing. And that was what my older self was kind of reacting to. But that was an incredibly. The emotions were dialed up very intensely on that. You can imagine. And then I also had like when I saw some flashes of future experiences and all that, and I also was left with this sense of like, what is this being at my door? I wanted to potentially get off my bed and open the door and look it in the face, and I was building up kind of courage to do that. I had this sense of, I don't want to be left with this mystery or with this experience and wonder for years what this is about. I want to know everything now, kind of thing. And I got a response from the being that was very much, you will be wondering about this for years, and I didn't like that. So I was trying to work the courage to go to the door. But I had seen some of the future experiences I'd have, and my childhood self kind of also reacted to this in a sense of, no, that they look boring. I want to get on spaceships and fly around and, all that stuff and all that. And I got this kind of strong sense in return that you wouldn't, very flat, but you wouldn't be able to handle that, And I got deeply offended by that. Like, I almost like kind of screamed telepathically back. And it responded by giving me this basically ball of stress. And I didn't understand that at the time. I thought the being was essentially, saying I wasn't just good enough to be able to handle these experiences, but I very much know very different now what they were saying. 'Cause this communication is happening about my entire life. And all took place as a 6-year-old with this being standing at my door within the space of 12 seconds or so, like it was there. And then that's all flying through my head. And it's not like, for anyone who's not had, like, many experiences have had these, you can't even a download, they might call. So like I switched back and forth between calling this a download, like the being was there directly interfacing with me, so often download, you kind of feel like something's more remote and it just
You drop it
shuts.
in your head or whatever.
But it's still the same. Like, I got a chunk of information thrown into me, but there was multiple layers to this interaction, which is very hard to There's so much happened in a short. It's very hard to, like, I'm having a real time discussion with it being two of me are, and then I'm simultaneously not really, the other part of me is not acknowledging this telepathic interaction and just like trying to figure out what the shadow is, and then I'm also being shown my future. All right? I'm experiencing various future experiences, all non-linearly in the same short chunk of time. Like, it's very, you can see why communication with these beings can be quite overwhelming, you know. But at the same time, I was not in, like, you know, overwhelmed with this big over telepathic overload. It felt very natural. That's why it's easy to sometimes dismiss it. It felt supernatural. Like, I just slightly daydreamed a bit while looking at this being at the door. Like, that's what was so,
So,
it was why I was able to bury it.
we'll be back after this short break.
The president has directed the Defense Department to release all of its documents involving UFOs and aliens. There are rumors that this might actually happen, and even that they might tell the truth. If you read the Whitley Strieber Substack or my most recent blog on unknowncountry.com, I explain exactly why. But if it does happen, does it also mean direct contact with aliens for more people? What happens if they come into your life, your children's lives? It's not going to be abductions like it was in the past. It's going to be a very different experience, something much more like what happened to my family after the communion experience. I wrote two books about it, Transformation and Breakthrough. They were beaten to death by the media and not much read, but they remain the only chronicle of such an experience that has ever been put into print. They're a blueprint for how to make contact work, and it can work, and that is certainly very important. Governments come and governments go, but the visitors are going to be in our lives from now on. Forever. So, how do we handle this? Is it good? Bad? Are we in danger? Or at the start of something wonderful? Find out how one family made contact work in Transformation 2026, the massive update to the original book, available now on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, they give you this communication, you have this experience, but then the overall communication is something that unfolds over your life as you begin to understand different pieces of it through different
Yes.
maturation levels. Is that fair to say, kind of, or?
So essentially what these beings have done with me is plant certain experiences across my timeline that were designed, a large chunk of them are designed to all make basically this stuff I go through between 2021 and now makes sense, especially the early couple of years. So I had lifelong contact events, like on and off contact events through life that I didn't understand, and most of it I didn't even know was contact, and that then were all strangely designed to then assist me in situations that occurred in 2021 onward. And so I, you know, why they did it that way, I can't say. Like, you know, why didn't they just come to me in 2021 and just tell me all these things that then there, like, for some reason, like, you know, and there's situations I've gone through, still, recently even, that were in that childhood download, and I didn't understand them until I went through the situation, and I understood that it was designed to help me, you know what was going on in that situation, which is very strange that the bulk of it was in childhood like that. But the rest of it, to finish what happened with the being, basically I was working up the courage to get off the bed and run to the door, and I had a sense from the being that it was almost like, oh, well, let's see if you will then. And when I picked that up, I had the thought of, I'm not going to be the first one to make a move in a million years. Like, if this thing needs to come into my room, or and then I'll see how I react or not. And when at that, the being moved from the door. And when I moved from the door, I leaped up into action and ran to the door. I didn't see anything, but I didn't stop. I ran downstairs to where my parents were, kicked in the door and started screaming at them, like, please tell me you were just at my door, et cetera, et cetera. When they finally answered that they weren't, I ran back up to check on my sister. And then I ran into every other room upstairs to try and find this being. And then I just kind of broke down into tears. And, you know, my dad came up and, you know, an alien was at my door, an alien was at my door. I wasn't really registering the download, just more of this thing at the door, you know? And of course, my dad just said, like, why would an alien travel a million light years to eavesdrop on a couple of Irish kids outside the door? And, you know, and I didn't think of it, you know, but it, this was, This happens with many people. This is a very orchestrated experience. It's very calculated. It was probably by design that I wouldn't. I didn't spend my life thinking I was one day going to run an experience or support community. I didn't spend my life thinking that was 100% a contact experience. I largely dismissed it, but I couldn't 100% dismiss it either because as I got very deeply fascinated by this topic, I didn't just suddenly wake up and see that. I didn't, there was no rational explanation I come for. I don't see things. I just randomly see things. So it was strange. But also, I didn't want, there were times I did wonder about the download part of it, but I found a block there. And I think it was because it was so deeply personal. And I also kind of interpreted the being as, I misinterpreted the being as making a judgment of my life. But what I'd actually experienced was me in a bad state of mind one day, basically criticizing myself, which is a theme. Like one thing I want to comes up in my work a lot is that, many experiences are very hard on themselves. A lot of imposter syndrome, a lot of low self-esteem, very cruel to themselves in their inner world. And many of these experiences have beings in their life, and these beings are linked and, telepathically aware of how cruel we're being to ourselves, and they've made note of this. This comes up in work. Like they don't want this. And so, I was experiencing my future self's, negative thoughts about myself and my life, as a 6-year-old, which was very critical to hear. We're not that brutal to our worst enemy, but when we're in a low place as humans, we are very deeply cruel to ourselves, and our inner worlds can be very unfair on ourselves. And a lot of these entities have a front row seat to that, which is quite interesting to think about.
Yeah,
But
fascinating
yeah.
that you're so young, confronted with these realities about your older self, and then you had to kind of hold on to that
I
as you
buried it.
got older.
I didn't think the, I really did deeply bury it. I wasn't expecting any of this. But then what happened was the other experiences I had, were dotted around later in life, and they came in dream states. So I thought they were just dreams, and again,
Yeah.
I was experiencing being other people interacting with me, and I was experiencing, them observing me doing actually some cases this work, and I just thought it was dreams. Like, and then I li so a chunk of this stuff then basically, long story short, I then lived through in a very short amount of time in 2021. So I got basically activated in spring 2021. I went through a sequence of events that were that what were part of what was shown to me, and I think internal thoughts, that were part of what were shown to me as a child. And then I suddenly, and I was likely I was being, it's very likely there was other things going on that I just dismissed, but it's very likely I was being visited and things like that in and around this case, because I suddenly had a psychic boost and things like that too, which is common after visitations. Now I have no memory of any visitations in that regard, But
Yes.
suddenly then spring 2021, I got activated, for lack of a better word. I was suddenly feeling energies around me. I knew I had this, the download was unlocked, if you will, and I was kind of dealing with the shock of that. It was very intimidating as well. I was on the edge of what was to be believed or not, and also I was understanding now the sense of the mission of what I was given was now at the forefront of everything. And it seemed
Yeah.
like all the other experiences I were given were to prove to me that this mission was real, and it was to a degree. They're definitely, there's other aspects of my contact where they do seem very interested in my development as a person and growth and all that stuff. But the mission became a forefront, and it was completely preposterous though. So, all I had was this childhood down essentially. I could suddenly feel energies and so on. I could feel energies from trees, as preposterous as that is, which
No.
shocked me. And from my girlfriend's a very creative woman, and she just lives to be creative, and her energy field just shifted when she's gotten to spend some time being creative. And I remember she walked into a room just after spending a couple of hours being artistically creative in various different ways, and she was beaming, but I just felt the energy before she walked into the room, and I got a shock. And I turned around to her and said, "Have you just been upstairs working on something?" And she, at the time, because it was going through this kind of activation, she actually initially gasped at me because she was just so spooked by this. Like
Sure.
initially she said no, and I say, but everything I was picking up was yes, she was. And I was like, why are you, because I was on the edge of, is this real or not? I was desperate for that kind of confirmation. And then she made, we had a little debate, and then she admitted, yes, I was being creative. And I said, why did you not say that straight away? And she goes, I almost feel like my privacy was violated in a way. You know what I mean? It's and it was so she went through her own saga, suddenly having
That's
her
I mean, that
partner.
is beautiful that it's so complicated what people are going through. Like that, what you just described is like seems from an outside perspective like it might be a minor exchange between a pair of lovers or whatever, but actually it's at the heart of like how we're going to be interacting with folks who may not be going through the same experiences, or I mean, It's really quintessential, I think, to sort of the new human confronting the old and how we're going to socialize these potentialities. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Like so, I mean, we went through very interesting and complicated, and it was a lot to learn for both of us. Time with this, where she had to suddenly her boyfriend was suddenly saying talking about this, and she would have heard the childhood experience a little bit, but now not only is he feeling that this was real, but he's feeling compelled to have to submission to eventually support experiences in some way, and he's psychically activated and all that stuff, and like, is this real or not, and is this the future of my life or not, and then eventually. I proved to her this is real, and that was a shock for her too. I can get into that in a second. So the one key thing that's important is just before I got activated, actually, and this is just a good example because this is what happened. I was trying training to be an animator. I'd just finished a degree in animation, and I when all this kicked in. But the summer before it was COVID. It was I was working on my final year animation. I was behind schedule on it, and I was in my mid-30s, working on an animation degree. At the time, my thinking was, this is my final shot to make this. If I don't make this, I'm not gonna pull this animation thing off, So I was very critical on myself that I was behind schedule, even though I did actually, looking in hindsight, I did well. But at the time, I was super critical of myself, and I went to bed in a state of kind of crisis. Like my big thing was I wanted to have, success in life, try to hopefully, have that identity as becoming an animator in Ireland and all that stuff. And all of this felt like it was on the line here. And I went to bed in absolute crisis, low self-esteem, and so on and so forth. And I had a major kinetic experience in my sleep state, right? And if this consciousness vroom, connects to me, feminine energy, it replaces, it instantly just basically grabs the sense of despair, low self-esteem, stress, anxiety, all that, just pulls it out of me, replaces it with a sense of achievement, accomplishment, leadership, high self-esteem, and contentment with myself, and so on. And I'd never experienced really these things, but it was such a shock because I'd been so stressed for so long and so low on myself for so long that, you're instantly given a new flavor of what the human experience is, a reminder that it isn't all just what I had been going through. And I was just so, whatever was going on, I was just so instantly grateful to have a taste of some other way of being, but I'd also understood that this was what I was experiencing was not artificial. It was my future self's state of being. And the being then says, everything you're stressed and worried about right now, you won't care about at all this time next year, essentially, right? And logically responding to this in a sense of like bliss, not bliss, but like just gratefulness that, wow, it's just great to be relieved of this, So I had a sense in the experience that this is some really kind of experience at this stage. But I just assumed, oh, this must mean I'm, maybe a team leader in an animation studio in some shape or form, and I make it, everything's great, And the being was like, no. And again, it was not in English, but it was no, you will be working with essentially experiencers, you talk, and I thought that was completely preposterous. And I actually debated with the entity. This is ridiculous. This must be my own dream. My own consciousness must be infecting this. I know it's a communication. I couldn't deny that at this stage, but my own consciousness and my own dreams, because I listened to a podcast the other day or something, has now infected or contaminated this interaction. The beings again. No, you will be working with experiencers. Again, not in English, but and again, I'm like, look, let's just say, I said, even if that was true, I still can't believe it because I'm not the kind of guy that would do that. I am not a type A personality who would just think, I'm someone that can help experiencers. I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to launch a community one day. I might would have at the time had that, which is what I've tried to smash with my work, this idea that no one should be engaging with or trying to, no one has any business helping experiencers unless they're a PhD, psychologist, John Mack level of stuff, I have no background in any of that. Who am I to be trying to get involved in this? All that stuff, I didn't even see myself as an experiencer even within the moment of that. The being said, you will learn what you're good at. You'll be in someone else's space and learn what you're good at and know what to do then, essentially. You'll learn how to be good at what you do by being in the space someone else starts initially, type thing. A year and a half, a year later, literally, that was summer maybe 2020. Yeah, a year later, I was running an experience support community by summer 2021. But had it happened again, activated in 2021, and through sequence of synchronistic events, landed on a post by an experiencer who was trying to share contact experience on Or Aliens, and 2021 Or Aliens, as happened, got ripped to shreds, and no constructive conversation could happen whatsoever. The comment sections and a lot of these subreddits, the experience of phenomena is very strange, and this person had a near-death experience, mass psychic activation afterwards, dealing with spirits, and then NHI contact experiences as well, and then synchronicities that guided her into situations as well. Things I understood were part of the phenomenon by that stage. But the average person's just going to see that, and there's so much room for people just to shut down a whole discussion with a cynical one-liner comment. And anyone reading, this is the key in terms of psychology, right? Anyone reading, there's lots of people on the edge of, like you've probably been there, on the edge of going, like, maybe this is real. Like, maybe there's something happening with these people. And they're reading and their eyes are opening and they're thinking, like, this actually could be a reality. Then they get to the comment section and it's, and it, because they might be thinking, I might even ask them a question. But then they get to the comment section and it's armies of people just taking the completely horrific to the person, and what that does to the reader as well is like, oh, I was a fool for even thinking this might be real for a second. I'm certainly not going to dive into that comment section and try to ask a genuine question because I'm going to be amongst all these people who are just all unanimously, mocking this,
Yeah, they'll chew
so
me
that
up.
crowd, that does affect people, right? So I had an awareness of this. And so anyway, this person, couldn't share their experience, like they were getting ripped to shreds. I was being pushed to feel like I should like ask this person a question or something. I didn't understand why. There was something in what they shared. There was some line that made me think of my childhood experience about like a network of experiences activating one day, and that is what I was shown, a sense of a network, as a child. So that made me, and had some sense pushing me, like, this is you. And I was like, and of course, this is preposterous. I was fighting all of this at the same time. Like, this is ridiculous. That I would actually really believe beings communicated to me as a kid and were getting me all this was happening, So you're at war with yourself internally throughout all this when you don't have any direct further proof of this, right? And so that continued for a bit. But this person, basically said, I can't talk about my experiences in here. It's just terrible. I'm going to create my own private subreddit where I can share, and people who want to actually have a genuine discussion with me can join. Just private message me and I'll let you in, And again, I got pushed. This is it. You need to do this because this will, sense this would lead to what I would eventually do. And again, I resisted that. Like, even creating, I went to go create a Reddit account in order to DM this person. And that day, like, I had an anxiety attack, and my girlfriend was like, "Why are you having an anxiety attack? Just create any throwaway Reddit account." But one part of me was like, "Yeah, this is preposterous. I'm just going to join a subreddit just to ask this person a few questions." But there was another part of me that was going, "This is important. What you're about to do now, username you pick, all that stuff is going to represent a very important part of your life." And so when I eventually settle on the username Oak and so on, which was cheesy, but I did, suddenly hear a lot of, I got this auditory vision essentially of a lot of people calling me Oak that know me very deeply, the American accents, and big group conversation of some kind as if they've known me. I didn't know any Americans at the time either, and that was a very cheesy, it was a kind of a cheesy experience. I'm embarrassed to share that, but it is, it did happen, right? So this is the, this is the thing some of these beings do. It is kind of talk about the hero's journey, the experiencer journey that kind of unfold for people. But it's so strange. It's easy to confidently largely talk about it now, but I had such imposter syndrome going through all this at the time, as you can imagine, created the Oak Dryad account, DM'd this person, was invited to a small little subreddit where people weren't, didn't see themselves as experiencers and all that, but were just interested in this particular case. Very, very long story short, this was my potato mountain from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I just spent every moment of the day talking to these people, and suddenly it just happened naturally in this flow state that community started forming around me, and I started hosting group chats. I started, and so on and so forth. But still, it was a case that, that we were all just people observing this experience, which wasn't, that person actually didn't remain very active. But we're all interested in consciousness and all that stuff, and metaphysics and so on and so forth. But then I was me starting to meet experiencers though, and I met this very gifted lady who and I throughout all this I was feeling observation, and I was feeling, basically things tuning in and watching me, and that felt very strange to even admit to myself, never mind here I am, I didn't really talk about the east side of my experiences even amongst my community in the first 2 years of this because it's so strange. But While all this was happening, I knew I could feel those beings were watching everything I was going through. And it was like, tuning in as I would talk to someone else, as I'd reply to someone. There was like a frequency tuning in or an earring and tones and all that. I knew this was a good chunk of me. I just had this knowing this was these beings. But the other part of me is like, this is preposterous. Imagine saying that. My ears are ringing and I think it's aliens. I sound like an idiot, and no one was talking about any of this stuff in this form at the time. But I started feeling prodded to start openly saying some of these things. And what would happen every time I would suddenly work with the courage to just kind of mention something like this, a cascade effect of me too, oh my God, thanks for sharing, would happen afterwards. And I would get a ding, see, and things like this. And the long and the short of it is, this lady I met was like, yeah, you do have beings connecting to you. They want to give you more experiences, but you're afraid. And it was true. I was. Like, I was dealing, had a lifelong fascination with this topic. My mother's an experiencer. She definitely went through an activation in the 90s. And so I'd seen all the material, the only thing that matched my fascination with aliens and my burning curiosity about it was my fear at night. Like, I'd have insomnia and issues sleeping and a fear of gray aliens and things like that. Again, no, I did not think I was being visited and all that. I had no, but anyway, I had to really start processing that fear. And I started working on that, right? And then this particular person had never seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And she was very fun. I guess a very gifted psychic person I suddenly found myself chatting to, and yet so down to earth, incredibly easy to get along with. And just not at all like what you would think when you're never engaged directly with experiences, but this perception of people with these gifts, and she was fun. So I was having fun meeting these people. It was incredible. Very fun people, and she said, all right, well, I'll make you promise. If I watch Close Encounters, you then, you need to get over your fear and tell these beings that you're ready, and I was like, yeah, all right, no worries. And then sure enough, like a week later, she started telling me, oh, I watched Close Encounters, I cried at the end, blah, blah, blah. You know what this means, though? Because, like, well, you need to go and get. And at this stage, I was just having so much fun. My vibration was so high. Like, there was just no fear. And I'd really done a lot of work internally on that stuff. And I just said, all right, I'll give it a go. Screw it. And I went up. And I, very active mind and all that stuff. I would have figured, I did believe things like CE5 were real and all that. I figured you'd need to be some kind of monk to pull anything like that off, I have a busy mind and I didn't meditate at the time, but I lied down on this was, May 2021, I think. I lay down on, it was daylight, and I lay down on bed. I think it was about 8:30. And I basically, gave permission. I kind of, activated my heart chakra, which was already quite activated. I was having, these people are incredible. And just very, very clearly said, like, okay, I know I'm not afraid anymore. I give permission for contact and what you're trying, you can talk to me now, it's okay, and I thought what was going to happen was it might turn into an actual then voice or communication, which was going to be con I was confront I was kind of stressed at the idea of dealing with that, but instead, I actually fell asleep for a moment, which is very unusual for me. And then I woke up, and it was, I think, roughly nine sometime somewhere after 9 p.m. The stars were out, and it was now night, and the stars were completely out. And I woke up, and I was like, nothing happened. And I was feeling ridiculous. Look, again, it was such a buzz meeting these incredible people. Like, my reaction was to kind of go, well, look, at least I tried. I broke through something I was resisting for weeks, and I did it anyway. I'll try again tomorrow and all that. But that, like, I'll just take a win that I tried it. But I was silly for thinking anything would happen. Something tunes into me then, and I go, oh, okay, where were you? I joke, like, where were you guys 40 minutes ago or whatever? And then I start thinking again, I'm an idiot for thinking any of this was real. And this is probably just some physiological thing. And the second that thought went through my mind, big flash of light came in my bedroom window. I turned to the left, and there's a triangle craft. And I was in Dublin City at the time, a capital city of Ireland. Triangle craft floating down, curling down, like a very dramatic maneuver, coming down from the clouds. And then shine with a signal light beaming right into my bedroom window to get my attention. I leaped off the bed and ran to the window, and to confirm what I was seeing, flashed again. I started screaming off the top of my lungs because I wanted my girlfriend to come and see this. I'm screaming for her to witness it. I know what I'm, this is the biggest moment of my life. Like, I'm directly confirming the reality of these beings. And I was in such shock at what I was looking at, and it was they made it very blunt the way, and like it was about it wasn't it was about a mile in the distance or so, but this light that it was aimed directly at my window to get in response to what I was dealing with, right, my thoughts and consciousness and all that, and I could feel it then knew it, I could see it. It confirmed that it was real, and it dramatically then curled back up again and cloaked. It all happened in a few seconds, and it looked it was very dramatic. It was kind of intimidating, this thing kind of cloaked in. Curl down in to flash lights into my bedroom window so that I would see it come to the window and then curl back out in and out really quickly, you know. Like it was like, you know, quite a intense maneuver. And my life changed forever in that moment. I went white. I came downstairs in a complete state of shock and told my girlfriend what happened. And of course, that moment was shown to me in my childhood download 30 years earlier.
Ah, full circle.
Which I thought was silly as a kid. As a kid, I was like, "Oh, it's just a craft in the distance, flashing lights," you know. But that shocked, that confirmed that this was real. It confirmed non-human intelligence exists, has interacted with our species, is real. This consciousness time, I think, is also real. And not only that, they're in my life. They're interested in what I'm doing, and my contact download is real. And this mass activation experience is just coming, and I'm supposed to help with it in some way. That's real too, you know. And I was in shock, and I was also then aware that my reaction to this was being observed as well. And I was also trying to deal with that, trying to prove to these beings that I can handle this, you know. But I was in complete shock, right? It took me 2 weeks to recover from that shock, but I had a sense that I was supposed to share this on this private forum as a, you know, because again, I still didn't know how I was supposed to help the experiencers, you know. And the long short story is by share, I share, it took me, it was really hard sharing that experience, you know, to type that up because it, when you're years on the internet, knowing how people react to these things, knowing how it sounds, you know, to actually type those words yourself, even anonymously on a private forum, you know, you're still thinking of what have I done and thrown my life away by actually saying I called in a triangle craft with my mind, you know, on the internet. I'm typing this on the internet. My God. So it was a very hard experience going through the process of even typing that up. It took me a day, you know, and I was so exhausted when I went to bed. And I remember thinking, what have I done putting that online? I'm a fool, you know, and all that. As I was climbing to bed thinking that, I look at the clock, it says 1:11 a.m. And I'm just like, okay, you bastards. Like, yeah. But fair enough, right? But I woke up the next day and I had an outpouring. Not only did I have an outpouring of love and support and congratulations for sharing and all that stuff, I had people had contact experiences as a result of reading my posts. And a lot of people were saying, "Oh my God, me too. I've been desperate to try and share this, but reading your words has allowed me now to share, and they're now sharing the comments." Parallel to this, I was getting bombarded with DMs of people look at it. I just want someone to talk to me, and the way you shared that, like I just need someone else to talk to about what I'm going through right now, and so on and so forth. And then a second download happened to me in that moment as I was reading the reaction to this. This is what I was supposed to do. This is how I do it, right? So I need to create an online space. Free of cynical skepticism, allowing people to share their contact experiences openly. And I had all these worries about doing it then. And I start giving these worries of being like, don't worry about that. Just do it. 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 And that like, there just would be a ripple effect from this. And also by people being able to observe a lot of these contact experiences, not only will experiencers who suddenly get activated and wake up, will find a place where they can actually talk about this stuff, find a place where they can actually finally put it to words anonymously, and not have to worry about all the stuff they know someone's going to say because they're thinking it themselves. They're thinking all the nasty comments anyone can say to an experiencer who shared their stuff online. The experiencer's already thought all that stuff a million times worse while they're typing it for the first time. It's so hard to initially do that, but we create a space where it allows them to do that. Such healing comes from that, right? And then, you know, finding that there are others like them too. It's huge, right? It's absolutely huge, right? And then, but also people on the edge of belief on this who are wondering if this is real or really do want to get to have a place where they can observe these people sharing and the patterns involved in that without, and even ask questions and engage too, but again, without this, an infection of cynical negative comments designed to completely destroy this having been shared, you know? So, that and it needs to be balance and middle path. There needs to be a place someone can go. They've just had a contact experience. They just want to meet other people who've had one too and just talk without some overarching narrative pulling them into some sort of belief system one way or the other, you know, exopolitical kind of belief system here, some sort of dark conspiratorial one here. They just want to share with other people who've had experiences and then we leave it at that. So we're very strong on authoritative tone and all that. We don't want it to be turned into a place where someone can come in and say, I am the ambassador of the Galactic Federation and I represent this particular species and here's this message and this is the exact truth. And you should believe me, I have all the answers, you know, which can infect other online spaces. And so we're hard on that. But we also want to be hard on, even though, look, this is part of the phenomenon, I work with and support and have lots of empathy for many experiences who deal with these experiences. But the future apocalyptic or disaster-based experiences, we shut down on that too, because if you're trying to, this, I had this understanding that this community needs to last. Experience communities don't last. They die a death very quickly, historically. Why? Because eventually some, it changes from it being people sharing their experiences to someone with a specific message about a future disaster that everyone ends up believing to be what this is all about then. And then,